All right, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is writing here in his letter to the church at Corinth, and he says, starting at verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means we have preached to others, and I myself should be a castaway." Now here, Paul is talking about here running a Christian race. And in verse 27, I read that out of the Amplified before, I want to do that again. He says, "But like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it in by hardships, and subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit." Now, Paul said he had to discipline, train his body. He used the word buffet. And we say we have to take heed that we don't buffet all the time, but sometimes the body has got to be buffeted. And he said on purpose here, disciplining his body with hardships. So this is kind of interesting. Paul had a made-up mind that he was going to run this race and make it to the finish line and receive the prize. Verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain it." So run that you may obtain it. And what we said is there is a way that you and I have to run this race. Now let's go over with you, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12, that we are in a race. We are contending. In Hebrews chapter 12, again, the writer is bringing forth a revelation of how we are to run. And he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, environ us, and let us run with" what? "Patience the" what? "Race that is set before us." So he's telling you something there about how to run. Now patience, you have to look at it in the Greek. It doesn't necessarily mean you sit down and wait by the dock of the bay waiting on time to roll away. Patience has to do with being consistently constant. That keeping your focus, keeping your confession, keeping your mind made up, and not being persuaded by evidences around you that may not confirm what you're believing for. Having patience. So now, with this, he said, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, if you know anything about running a race, you'll know that in running that race, there is a runners that run a track, if you will. Runners that run a track. And in running that track, what they're doing is in a relay, they pass a baton. And in passing that baton, they are passing it on to the next runner. So if we've got a relay that we have got 14 members, what happens normally when the training takes place, the coach will look at who he has to run that relay. And he wants a fast runner on every leg. But he'll look oftentimes at the fastest runner and put that one first. And then that fast runner, also the next fastest or whatever, he'd put that one last. Meaning that what he would do, or she would do, is make sure that you get a good start. It wants to jump out ahead of the pack. But then after that, it wants to keep the lead, but then at the end, that coach would want to make sure that in that last leg, they've got a person that has been properly trained and disciplined so they can bring home the bacon. Praise God. No. So that they can be the ones that would bring home that prize. So now we are saying, according to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, that the gospel calls us the harvesting generation. We're the ones, I believe, that are going to see Jesus come back. Now, I didn't say that I got that and thus saith the Lord. I didn't say that. I said I believe that. Okay, so I'm not trying to prophesy anything. I'm getting outside of the calling of the scriptures. But I want you to know that there is some work to do before Jesus gets back here. And you were not born back in 1492. You were not born back in 1820. You were born right now. Why? Because God has put in you what it takes to kick that last lap. You see, he saved the best to last. Praise God. So we're here now, and God wants us to run this last lap of this race and finish the work that Jesus wants finished in this earth and the Father wants finished. Now he says, you'll come pass about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So he said it's like a stadium, and you've got all these spectators around. But these spectators happen to be the people, this is my vision of it now, happen to be the people who have gone on to be with the Lord. You see, there have been people who have been running before you got here. There have been relatives and in-laws and great-grandmothers and so forth who were keeping the faith, and they were doing their part while they were here. But now this is our generation. God wants to bring this thing to a close. But for him to do it, he needs you. God is depending on you. So now he is saying here that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, those relatives are up there right now pulling for you. They know you're running a race down here. They know you've got obstacles down here. They know there are hindrances down here. But they're saying, come on, Joe. Come on, Bob. I remember when I was brought up down in Tuskegee, Alabama, down at the college down there, the Institute of University, it used to be the place where they used to have the regional track events, track and field. And so I tell you, I was up there just about at every event. And I wanted one of those places to stand right beside the track, because I wanted to see them come around. And when they came around where I was standing, I wanted to feel the energy that was coming from them. I wanted to hear them. I wanted to hear what was going on inside of them. And when I did that, it just gave me some energy. I wanted to run home. I wanted to do something, because it was so inspiring. But I remember when I was standing on that last leg that they had to kick before they got to the finish line. And you would hear people on the sideline saying, kick it out, kick it out, kick it out. What they were saying is, give it all you got. Don't look around. Don't look back. Don't be held back. Don't do anything. Just give it all you got. Don't look at your body. I know your body's tired, but give it all you got. Come on, kick it out, kick it out. Why? Because there was a prize. There was a prize. And Paul said that prize was corruptible. But you're going to get one that's incorruptible. Now God wants you to kick it out. He's saying, lay aside every weight. Lay aside the sin that would so easily beset you. Lay aside arguing with your neighbors and your friends and your relatives. Lay aside any unforgiveness from a bad marriage. Lay aside, come on, lay aside any kind of unbelief that you might have about the scriptures. Lay aside any things that may have been fears in the past that you've tried in the past and it didn't work. Forget that. Come on, it's a new day. Lay that aside. Lay aside any kind of thing that the enemy might beseech you with, such as fornication, adultery, homosexuality, all of that. Lay that aside. Come on, we got a race to run. It's time to run. And lay aside every weight and the sin that might so easily beset you. It's time for us to realize that God is depending on us. So now, he is saying here, talking about laying something aside. Now, one of the things that we said that you're going to have if you're going to run this race is you're going to have some speed. When I was in the military, in the Air Force, flying fighters, and flying in the Southeast Asia, if you get in some combat and another airplane is trying to overtake you, an enemy airplane, one of the first things you do is you had fuel tanks on the outside of that airplane, and if you had fuel tanks, you'd hit that fuel tank drop button. You'd hit that button and drop those tanks. You'd let them go. Why? Because you want that airplane to be as clean configured as possible, because you're going to need all the speed you could get, because now you're in some combat. I want you to turn to a scripture with me. Turn to 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. Some of the saints have not discovered that they are in a war. That's tragic, but they haven't discovered that. Now look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And therefore endure hardness as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a what? Soldier. You're a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive how? Lawfully. So we said that if you run this race, not only are you going to have to run with speed, but you're going to have to run lawfully. And what has happened sometimes, and I gave you that example, that time when I was going out for the basketball team when I was down in elementary school, and we had to run around the track, you know, do some laps first. And then I waited till the coach got distracted and called away. And instead of me running around the track, I cut across the field and so forth. Well, that's not lawful. Are you following what I'm saying? That's not lawful. I heard about a man who was running track, and he ran, and he won the 100-yard dash, and then they came and examined him and found out that he had been taking some kind of steroids or something, drugs or something that is illegal, and they stripped him of his crown. Now, here he was, gave it all he had, whatever have you, and stripped him of his crown. I said, Lord, I don't want to be in a place where I get before you, and all of a sudden I'm stripped of everything that I thought I had. Come on, somebody say amen to it. You see, it's a time here that we're going to have to run, but we're going to have to run lawfully. Now, I want to show you a scripture that maybe some of you have never heard before, but it's in the Bible. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Glory to God in heaven. Romans chapter 15. Hallelujah. I said chapter 15, make it chapter 14 and we'll be okay. Romans chapter 14. Are you with me? Verse 17. Are you there? Say praise the Lord. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's go on down to verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is what? Not of faith, come on, is sin. Now it's kind of interesting, but one of the laws of this is the law of faith, that you're going to have to run this race by faith. You see, you have been designed to be a companion of God. You have been designed to fellowship with God. And I'll tell you right now that if you're going to walk and talk with God, you're going to have to do it by faith. God is a faith God, and when he starts speaking to you, he's going to speak to you by faith. God has never really told me to do anything significant that I had the money to do. When God said do it, I was broke. But when I start moving and start believing God, that the same God that told me to do it is going to be the same God that's going to supply all my needs, that's when God began to move in my life. I'm saying that Abraham was a friend of God. You have been designed to walk with God. Adam walked and talked with God. God designed you to be in fellowship with him, for you to talk to him and for him to talk to you. I'm saying if you're going to do that, you're going to have to do it by faith. Say amen to that. And I think what we've got is we've got some folk that are trying to run this race and not run this race by faith. And so, therefore, we are coming up against some things, and never, the next thing you know, people start coming up with all kind of strange doctrines. You come up and you say, well, you're the righteousness of God. Well, don't say that like that now, because I'm not quite that righteous. Holy, wait a minute. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God says you are his righteousness. When he looks at you, he looks at you through the blood of Jesus. And you have been made righteous. That is the only way you're going to come back in fellowship with God, is that you're going to have righteousness. Even when you do sin, he said you can confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Why? So that you can walk in righteousness again. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, he said that for by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You see, God knows that without a sense of righteousness, it's hard for you to reign in this earth. And God made you not only to be his companion, but he made you to have dominion over this earth. He not only gave you rule over the animal creation, he gave you rule over everything, including the laws of creation. Glory to God. Hey, it was Adam that named those animals. God didn't name the animals. He brought the animals there so that Adam could rule over them. The Bible says that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we were created in his what? Image, and after his what? Likeness, to have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. One of the things that the enemy is trying to do is not let you receive that by faith. You see, for you to walk in the things that God has said, you're going to have to get it first by faith. That means that you're going to have to believe you received it before you feel it. And once you get it by faith and start walking in it by faith, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, we talk faith, we live faith, and we'll see the manifestation of what God said. I'm here to tell you, it's by faith. So with faith we do the works of God. So let's go over to Jude now. Jude, and it's only one chapter. Jude is just the Bible. It's a book right before the book of Revelation. So I'll help you so we can go on. I don't have time to stop you. Let me know when you get there. Hello, let me know when you get there. Look what it says in Jude 1, verse 1. The servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be what? Multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly do what? Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you. Now, when we say the word contend, it means to strive against as in a contest. It means to use earnest efforts to obtain. It means to defend or preserve. A contender is one who contends in combat or championship. It's one who is struggling to oppose another. Contention is a state of struggle or even quarrel. But he's saying contend, earnestly contend for the faith. You see, we have to earnestly contend for the faith. Why? Because there's an enemy out there and he is trying to steal our faith. Why? Because he knows without faith you can't what? Please God. You can't please God in this race without faith. You end up running a race and don't get nothing. Why? Because you didn't run it lawfully. So we're going to have to contend for faith because the enemy is out there to steal our faith. Say amen to that. So we're going to have to struggle for it. We're going to have to keep it. Now, the faith is a legacy. It's passed down from one generation to another. Turn to 2 Timothy, if you will, and chapter 1. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm trying to finish this quickly. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Glory to God. Earnestly, what? Contend for the faith. Why? Because there's a struggle for your faith. The devil knows that if you don't have faith, you can't whip him. He knows that without faith, you can't get God in it, and without God, you're not going to defeat him. You can wake up every morning and try to outthink the devil all you want to. As a matter of fact, you can stay in this earth for 1,000,000 years, and you won't be able to outthink Satan. But with one move of God, with the hand of God, with the wisdom of God, with the counsel of God, you can defeat Satan every time. The Bible says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, that doesn't happen except you come into Christ and you belong to him. Once you do, the power of God comes on you and you cast the devil out. Now, look what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Have you got it? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, this is Paul's spiritual son, Timothy. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my fathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with what? Joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that is faith there that does not waver, it's absolute trust in God, unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy who? Grandmother Lois, in thy who else? Mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is what? In thee also. Can't you see what you're supposed to be doing? The Bible says one of the reasons why God chose Abraham is because Abraham would teach his children. You see, you're supposed to be teaching your children something about faith. You're supposed to be passing it on to them. Some of y'all, the way you got here is your grandmama, who was working on a cotton field, was out there praying and praying for you to go to college, praying for you to get a decent education. Some of you, the way you got here, you was in somewhere in the back part of Europe or somewhere in South America or something, and somebody was praying for you and God brought you into a wealthy place. I'm just saying, somebody had faith before you. Now, what they do is trusting that when you get that baton, you won't fall away from the faith. You're going to take that baton and say, wait a minute, I got a race to run too. There are people that are counting on me. There are people that have sacrificed for me. Now, the least that I can do is run my race with speed, patience, and run it lawfully. Say amen to that. God has got you running a race. So now, what do? We have to remember that as we're running this race, there are people not trying to understanding that they're trying to do it without faith. And you can't do this without faith. What's happening today is there's an assault on faith. Turn to Acts chapter 20. There's an assault on faith. It's the same as it was during the time of Paul. Same as it was. The enemy is after your faith. You're going to have to struggle for faith. You're going to have to wrestle to keep that faith. Say amen to that. Look what it says here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed, therefore, 28, verse 28, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall what? Grievous or ferocious wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men what? Arise, speaking perverse things to do what? To draw away disciples after them. What is he saying? Some folks are going to come in with some stuff that is not of God, and they're going to come in right after I have finished preaching to you and taught you these times or days or months or years. And now when I leave, watch out, because here they come. I'm telling you, you come in here and you hear the gospel, you hear the fact that God wants you blessed. You hear the fact that God wants you out of debt. You hear the fact that God is a miracle God and he can turn it around in 24 hours. You hear that God will heal anything that you've got. You hear that God don't have to. I just got a letter the other day and a lady was telling me, you know, the man that you prayed for, we prayed over some things and so forth. And the man parent was real sick. He was sick with AIDS and God healed the man. She said the healing is, it's after 2 years, the healing is still there. Praise God. Now, what am I saying? I'm just saying it's not me. It's the church. It's what God has done for us. It's what he's done for anybody. I'm just saying here we have some truth that are going forth. And when you leave this place or turn on TV or go to some unbelieving believers, they'll try to talk you out of your inheritance. They'll try to talk you out of the faith that was given to you when you sat up here in this meeting. Let me tell you, what Jesus did yesterday, come on, he'll do today. If he were making a blind man see yesterday, come on, he'll make him see today. If he were making a lame, a crippled man who never walked, walk yesterday, he'll do it when? Today. If he were making a man who had his arm amputated and had nothing there but a nub, but Jesus made that nub whole and gave that man another arm, if he did it yesterday, come on, he'll do it today. We got to stop looking to the world to validate everything. Let's look to Jesus. Let's look to his word. God said, I'll do it, and let's let that settle it. If we'll come in here with that kind of faith, I'm telling you, when people are sick, hit the door, the power of God will hit them, and they'll be just like the man in the pool of Bethesda. They'll be healed once they get in there. We got to get away from all this trying to qualify stuff in our own natural mind. Let me tell you, we're going to have to run this race with faith. It's faith that pleases God. And with God, all things, come on, are possible. But to get God to move, we're going to have to say, wait a minute, I'm going to have to stop listening to all that mess that has nothing to do with what God said. And I'm going to have to listen to God and let God be true and let every man be a liar. One of the reasons why people talk down on it is because they have no revelation. I know sometimes I'll come and I'll preach hard somewhere or here, and I'll preach hard and I'll go home and the devil will say, well, see there, you shouldn't have said that, so forth and so on. And then I get along with God, get back up in the spirit and get in prayer. God said, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. You said what I told you to say. What am I saying? I'm saying you come out of that atmosphere of faith and the enemy will try to assault you again and tell you that ain't working. Now, how are you going to believe you received something you can't feel it? So forth and so on. Don't even listen to that. If God said it, that settles it. Let that be. Glory to God. Now, let's turn to something that I think is very important. Let's turn here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to wrap this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this is very important for you. I want you to hear this. Glory to God. Hashatah. Yeah. Yeah. My Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm going to do my part. I said, I'm going to do my part. Folks, it's by faith. Say, by faith. When you go over in Hebrews, look what it says. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Moses. By faith, Jacob. By faith, it goes on down. Sarah, by faith. Ruth, by faith. Esther, by faith. All them by faith. Because without faith, you can't even please God. Now, I know it myself, when God called me into the ministry, he called me and I knew God was calling me, but I just didn't have enough faith to get in. But I heard a tape. See, God will supply the grace that it needs to make that step. And I heard a tape and a man preaching on the tape that no man that has left house or land or brothers or sisters for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. And I began to pray and believe that and meditate that scripture. Boom, one day that scripture came alive and out of me, faith coming, glory to God, and came out of my mouth, I'm leaving this company. I went and called my wife. I said, baby, I'm leaving. She said, praise the Lord. I left that company, I'm telling you, and the devil tried me. Well, after I left that company, the enemy said, oh, you got it now, you in trouble now. Oh, what you gonna do about this? What you gonna do about that? But once you start in faith, come on, you got to stay in faith. You got to contend for the faith. And so we stayed, and when God spoke to me and said, come to Chicago, I said, God, I don't have but $200. He said, that's enough. Come on with me. And I went to Chicago, and a sister said, God spoke to me and told me to open up my home to you and your family and to keep you until you get squared away here in Chicago. I said, praise the Lord. Stayed with the sister a few months, and then God said, okay, it's time to move out of here. I had to declare it, because every time we tried to save a little money, the devil would have something to happen to the car or something, and they'd eat up the money. And I said, Lord, what's going on? I cried and placed a demand on that anointing, and God spoke to me very clearly. He said, just decree what you want. And I said, hey, glory to God. I'm here to tell you, we're going to start in faith, but stay in faith. We got a race to run, and it's going to have to be run lawfully, and the law is the law of faith. I'm telling you, came to Forest Park. I came up here, and we were down at Lake and Pulaski in a little storefront, and somebody said, Pastor, there's a bigger place for us, because we've outgrown this place. It's up in a place called Forest Park. I said, where's Forest Park? And they said, it's up there up Madison Street, and it's a place on the left up there. You'll see it. I said, I think it's suitable for us. And the person kind of, you know, stayed after me. And I said, well, let me go on up here and look at this place. I went up there and looked at it and looked in, and I got the realtor to show me around in there. And when I got in the middle of that place, something spoke to me and said, take it. I asked the realtor, I said, now, how much is this a month? He said, well, it's $3,000 a month. Now, at that time, he may as well have said $3 million. He said, $3,000 a month. And I didn't flinch, you know, but inside of me, I was far. Oh, but, I got to be cool with it. Oh, that's all. Come on, Faith. But fight a good fight. Glory to God. Lay hold of eternal life. I said, I tell you what. I said, let me get back to you. I went and prayed about it. The Lord said, take it. I said, Lord. He said, decree what you want. I got down at one of our services down there at Lake Pulaski. I got the next service. I said, listen. I stood up and I said, listen, we're moving in 3 weeks. We're moving in 3 weeks. This place costs X amount of dollars, and we're going to move in 3 weeks. And once I said that, people who didn't even go to the church started sending us money. We had all the money plus security when we moved in there and never laid on a rent payment. Pretty soon we bought the building. Now God's telling me, let's move again. And pretty soon it was this mall. He had been looking at this mall. I said, woo! He said, don't say nothing. Say what I said. Decree a thing. Every place the soles of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Thou shalt meditate in my word day and night. Now the forces tried to fight me. The official said we couldn't have this. We couldn't have church service in here and all of that. But let me tell you, I heard another testimony. I heard some good news. I heard the word of the Lord. And when I heard the Lord, every time they say something negative to me, I go back and say, Lord, you know what you said. He said, just keep moving ahead. I'm here to tell you, we've had to run the race all the way. It's been faith. We had to start in faith. We had to stay in faith. And we got to end in faith. You see, God has a crown laid up for you. God has a reward laid up for you. But you got to run lawfully. You got to run according to the rules. Hallelujah. Now, let me just show you this. We've been on. Look what it says here. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You see, some people are trying to get big ministries by having a big speaker to come in. You see, they're trying to pump it up with steroids. You see, you can't do that with God. You can't do that with God. They think just by going on TV they can have a big meal. You're not with God. You in an hour right now that every work's going to be tried. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm saying that other ministers trying to build up their ministers by putting other ministers down. You can't do that. You got to run with faith, and faith worketh by love. You got to have love. You got to keep love. See, it's got to be lawfully. Say amen to that. And I'm just saying, run your race. There's a purpose by which God has placed you in this earth. Just do that. Don't look to the right or to the left. I know they're doing this over here. I know the minister's doing that over there. That God will handle them. He put them in place. You're the one. You just keep your mouth shut and let God handle what. Because, see, you'll hold up your blessings by doing that. And don't be trying to judge me. God put me here. You didn't put me here. And this ain't no democracy. The church is a theocracy. One God. He gives the instruction. We don't need no vote. He tells us what to do, and we just do it. He owns this thing. Now, I'm only saying that because some people have fallen into some situations there that their life was on the line by doing that. A guy named, I won't mention him. I was reading his book the other night, and he said that he began to speak and disdain the several ways of this particular man of God because he didn't like the man of God. He thought that this man of God was, he was very rough and so forth, and he didn't like the way the man of God kind of projected himself, so he kind of disdained him and so forth like that. But God had to come to him and tell him, on no uncertain terms, that this man of God was his responsibility, and that God is the one who placed him there. And God told him, he said, you're about to cut your life short if you don't repent. And now, what am I saying? See, you, when you get up here with all this power, you got to watch your mouth. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, this is good news for you because we don't have to put nobody down. Are you following what I'm saying? God put him there, especially his anointed one. Hey, David, you would not get David. I'm telling you now, all of us have made this mistake, but I'm saying cut it out. Say amen. Just repent of it. Say, Lord, forgive me for that. Didn't mean to touch him. I ain't going to touch him no more. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying the enemy is trying to pull you out of that race. Say amen to that. All right. Now, let me read this last thing. And he said, verse 11, for the foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? A reward. If any man's work shall be what? Burned, he shall what? Suffer loss. But he himself shall be what? Saved as by fire. Now, what is he saying to you? He's saying this, that every person's work shall be tried. That every person, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to stand there. Now, we're not going to be judged in the white throne judgment. We'll go over that perhaps next time. We're going to be judged before Christ, and we're going to be rewarded for the things that we have done in this earth. Now, remember this. God's going to reward you for what you've done when you ran that race lawfully. In other words, there are a lot of things that folks are doing, and they think, well, I'm doing this for God. Now, God didn't even ask you to do that, and you're not doing it by faith. So what we have to do is realize, let's do the things that God called us to do. Let's pray and keep the rules that God has called us to keep. So when we stand before God, you know, God can say, instead of God, somebody said they stand before God, and God said, well, no, you don't want them to say that. You want them to say what? Well done, see? You follow what I'm saying? Now, only thing, the reason why I'm bringing this to you right now is because we have an opportunity in this church. I believe this is a faith church. This is a church that God has called to really break through some things. I mean, there are some things that we'd like to do for Chicago. We'd like to put up a huge prayer center, even a prayer tower. We can pray 24 hours a day, keep the devil oppressed, get all them demons out of City Hall. Get all them demons. I'm saying we can keep this thing and we can make this Chicago a Garden of Eden. Praise God. I'm just saying these are the things that I believe that we can do. If we'll just keep our minds stayed on Him, run the race like God called us to run it, and we can make it and be like Paul that said he has finished his course, he has kept the faith, and now he's ready to receive the crown that has been laid up for him. I believe in my spirit that every person listening to me right now, God has called you here for such a time as this. I believe that with some of us, there have been numerous distractions. We've been on wrong roads, I mean for years and so forth and so on, but finally God got you here. Now, what I'm asking you to do is lay aside every weight, every sin, everything that's attached itself to you, every bad attitude you got. I mean, you ought to have no cares. Don't you see? Not only is adultery a sin, but also worry is a sin. Lay aside worry. Lay the thing aside. If God said be anxious for nothing, don't worry about a thing, you're supposed to be happy in God every day. Somebody said, don't you have any cares? No, I cast all those cares. I keep casting them. I'm just saying God has called you here for a purpose. Now he's got you on the road to your wealthy place. I'm asking you right now to work with me. Praise God. We're going to get there together. We're headed towards the finish line. It's no coincidence that we're here today. God has got a plan for us. There was a man, he died. I guess he left his body and went up to heaven. And God said that he was at the feet of Jesus. He gave this in his book. He was at the feet of Jesus. And he said that the Lord told him, I want you to go back. He said, Lord, wait a minute. I want to stay here with you. It's so beautiful here. He said, no, your work isn't done. He said, Lord, but I want to stay here with you. He said, okay, you can stay here, but you won't get anything. He said, when he looked around, he got back and went on back in that body and began to do the work of the Lord. My point is this, whatever God has called you to, business, called you to teaching, called you to working, whatever job he's called you to, do it as unto the Lord. And as he leads you to witness or whatever he leads you to do, do it by faith. Don't listen to your flesh. Listen to what God is saying to you and do that thing. I'm telling you, I don't know what that man looked around and saw, but I'm telling you what God said he had for me. He said he got a mansion for me. Say amen. Now that man might have looked around and saw an efficiency apartment and said, wait a minute, this ain't what I want. I'm going back down. I'm saying, when you get there, God's got some big things for you. I don't want you to be cut out of anything. I don't want you to stand before Jesus and all of a sudden, and all the things that you've ever done just go up in smoke. I want him to say, well done, praise God. Look at my sister. Look at my, this is, oh, you get about 43,000 acres over here. You get about so, you say, wait, praise God. That's what I wanted. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a praise.